The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. The first Sunday after Memorial Day. Hope you had a great long weekend. Both we had cold weather, hot weather, the weather was all over the place. And unfortunately, on Sunday, the Celtics had their last game of the season. Hope you watched. What a great team this has been, and what a great future they have ahead of them. But here we are, first weekend into June, and I am joined today by my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and wonderful to have you here bright and early this Sunday morning. Any big plans for the day?
Well, you know, we try to play it by ear.
She's always got, yeah, you can live this life of spontaneity, can't you, Mary?
I really can. I don't have five kids.
That's right.
My son is grown and married, so I'm good. I can do whatever I want.
So many things to do here around the North Shore. I mean, beaches are now open. Music theater opened up this weekend. They're showing the musical MAME. It's funny. I was going through my nightstand. When you move into a new house, you find all sorts of stuff that you haven't seen in a long time. MAME, which is the show that's opening the season at the Music Theater, was the first musical I was ever in stage. Did you know that, Marion?
I did not. I thought it was The Music Man.
No, that was in high school. I played played Harold Hill in The Music Man.
Okay.
But when I was 11 years old, I played Little Patrick from MAME. And I sang the song, You're My Best Girl.
Nice.
And my parents gave me this bracelet that had a little, what are they called? The comedy and tragedy faces on it. It had my name on it. It was a little bracelet that I wore. And it was engraved on the back that said, you know, congratulations on your first show, MAME 1979, with the Linfield Spotlighters at the time.
Very nice.
And I just came across that, and I thought it was kind of cool that MAME is here this weekend. And looking forward to seeing it next Saturday. Are you going to see the show?
Same night as you, as a matter of fact. Yeah,
oh, really?
Saturday. Yeah.
I didn't even know. We live in the same, we're in the same office building. We're right next
every
door
day
to each other, and we'll be at the same show.
Just decided to do that.
Oh, okay.
So that's why you hadn't heard yet.
Perhaps I'll buy you drinks at the Broadway Club.
Ooh, thank
you. Or you can use your free tickets, too. We both have some free passes to get drinks at the Broadway Club. But lots of things going on here on the North Shore. Red Sox up in full steam ahead now, getting ready for the big season ahead of them. But we've got lots to talk about. If you've been around to the restaurants lately, they are busy. Try to get a reservation. Some of the restaurants, hotels are selling out. What else you see, Mary?
All those graduations.
Unbelievable.
You know, yeah, it's really tough, particularly in Boston. Yeah. If you like to go into Boston to have dinner, try to go on a weekend there's not a graduation. And I'm not sure that exists until July. Maybe.
I think you're right. I mean, it has been very busy. So we're going to be here this Sunday.
So no
today.
Recession, right?
I don't think there's a recession around at all. And frankly, do you see it coming anytime soon, Marion?
I really don't. But, you know, I think things look very good in the economy. How about you?
I think things look fabulous, actually. Yeah. Better than what the media might lead you to believe. And certainly if you're living here in Massachusetts, which is the miserable media. You know, we're never going to make it. That's what it feels like right now. We're doing pretty good.
It just depends what you focus on. So if you look at the underlying economy and you look at jobs, more people are working. Great. Awesome. They're making more money. Salaries have gone up. So that's really wonderful. There are a lot of good things happening. You know, interest rates are going up, but they should go up.
Absolutely, they should go up.
We really, and this is actually a good thing for many people who put their money in the bank. I mean, they now can get a return on the money.
Yeah, you can get one or close to 2% on just really liquid money at the bank these days.
Yeah, which is amazing. I mean, who thought we'd ever say that? But that is the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that Back in 1991, when I started in the business, I think money market rates were paying around 5%.
Well, in 1980, I think they were about 18%.
You're right. But I'm just saying, I mean, I don't think we're going to ever see 18.
No.
But could you imagine seeing 5?
Not soon. Maybe. I actually don't think we're going to see an enormous spike in interest rates either in the very near future.
Yeah, I would agree. But it is healthy to see these interest rates start to spike up a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know, the banks are getting squeezed, have been getting squeezed a lot. Mortgage rates are going up. So if you were thinking about buying a house, now might be the time to get it done, because as the next couple of years move along, the cost of borrowing is going to be higher, and thus you might not be able to afford the amount of house that you could afford now.
That's right. That's right. Yep. And we've seen mortgage interest rates go up. What surprised me even more, and I know this because I look at it every day, oil prices have gone up. But I was really surprised the last time I filled up my car. You know, gas prices were over $3, which is a gallon. So that just surprised me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I've heard it. I know it. But
I mean, being over $3 a gallon.
Still is, not high, right?
Is, you know, and some people will sit around and complain. If you've traveled outside of this country.
Right.
I mean, you have no idea how expensive gas is.
Well, I can't remember. It was not that long ago that it was over $4 a gallon.
Oh, here so, or?
Here.
Oh, that was a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah, but that's not that long in the scheme of things, you know?
No, but there are some people, I mean, paying, you know, you go to Europe, travel through any of these European countries, and you're paying $5 and $6 a gallon.
Right.
Granted, they sell it in liters over there.
So it looks better.
It does. You'll see something like, ooh, 60 cents a liter or 60 euro or 80 euro a liter. And you realize it's getting more and more, you know, it's getting more and more expensive.
Right, right.
So lots of great things going on here in the country. I mean, the stock market, believe it or not, most people, if you were to ask someone on the street right now, how do you think the stock market's doing for the year? What do you think the general reaction is going to be, Marion?
Flat. Lousy.
I would agree. I mean, that's what you hear.
And that's short-termism. You know, everybody just looks at what's happened very, very recently.
But what's really happening in the market, Marion?
It's amazing, isn't it? I was really surprised this week that, in fact, there have been a lot of positives in the stock market. So particularly small company stocks have actually done fairly well since the beginning of this year. So we had a big spike in January in the markets, and everything went up. And that was a continuation of 2017. And after the end of January, we started seeing the market go down. And it went down, 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 you know, went low, then back up. And now it's just sort of been in this trading range. We've not gotten back to where we were in January. However, small company stocks and large growth stocks have done well. They've both seen positive returns, and positive returns in the neighborhood of 5%.
It's really amazing. Yeah. I mean, many people will focus, and this is what happens if you buy individual stocks. If you buy individual stocks, you're either seeing yourself up a nice level or down.
Right.
And that's how you're measuring yourself. But, you know, when we're building portfolios, we're buying both large cap growth funds, large cap value funds, small cap value, small cap growth, and a combination of everything in between. And what we're trying to put together from a performance standpoint is an aggregate performance. What does it look like as a portfolio?
And as a portfolio, because on the value side, those stocks have not done very well. And also, because interest rates have gone up, we've seen some decline in bond prices, which has not righted itself yet. And it likely will before the end of the year, that you'll see a flattish bond market. But right now, you're seeing some decline in bonds. So as a portfolio, it's essentially flat or up just a little bit, but not a lot.
So maybe you can help our listeners a little bit, or maybe we'll do this. I know we've got just a minute before we take a break, but maybe when we get back, Marion, you can really give our listeners an idea of understanding when you say bond prices are up, bond prices are down, bond prices are flat. What does that really mean to a person that's holding on to a bond or a bond fund? And you say, well, eventually it'll right themselves. Why do we feel that way? Why do we say that? What does that really mean? Because after all, dollars and cents is all about delivering financial advice in a language you can understand. And we're going to put Marion on the spot. When we get back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I don't have one thing on my mind. One thing on my mind. I don't have. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. When's the last time you actually pulled one of those adding machines or had a little register like that? Does anybody even carry coins around anymore? I'm joined here by Marion Gilman, my business partner. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. As I'm listening to the little change thing move through, I mean, I think the only time you actually hear the sound of coins clinking, and I don't even know if you do that anymore, is at the casinos. Where else do you really hear the clinking of coins? And now you put that on a card, too. You don't even use real coins.
I don't think they... I'm not sure that they actually take real quarters in the casinos anymore, do they?
I don't know. Think about the weight that would go away if you didn't have to lug around all of that change at a casino.
Well, they've been trying to get rid of pennies for a long time, just in general circulation.
So you know how we get rid of pennies and nickels and dimes right now?
How?
The solution is that every person in the world believes they're entitled to a tip. So every place you walk into, they have a styrofoam tip cup out for you to dump all of your excess change because you don't want it to put it in your pocket.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Think about it. Well, that's because you don't go out to the places I go to, like Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and, you know, right? You make your own coffee, don't you?
I do make my own coffee.
I know you do. You're one of the few.
Well, what can I tell you?
Because you make good coffee, right? You
got the European, make good coffee.
I know, the European coffee.
I even grind my own beans every morning.
Now, that is financial advice in a language you can understand, right, Marion? Think about all the money you're saving.
I'm not sure I'm saving any money, quite honestly.
Because you pay a fortune for that coffee grinder and all the other stuff, right?
And the beans, and, you know, it all adds up. But that's okay. It's fine. It's delicious.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, at 41 Cross Street, just above the fabulous Alto Forno Restaurant. I'm joined here by my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, good morning.
Good morning.
And what are your plans this morning?
My plans are to sit here with you for another...
another 45 minutes or so.
45 minutes or so, right, exactly. I didn't know what time it is. And then I have the whole day off. It's awesome.
Man.
See? Kids to schlep around.
No kidding. I think that's great. I'm jealous.
No, you're not. Yeah, someday you'll get there. Well, you should be getting rid of another one pretty soon, right?
Yeah, Mindy moved out yesterday.
Oh, right. But also, your next in line is going to be driving, Noah, right?
Noah's going to be driving, right. Noah gets his license. He'll pick it up in September sometime.
So there you go. Yes. You're not going to have to drive him around anymore. So there's only Corey.
That's right. So it's amazing to me that there's five cars parked in my house in the driveway right now, soon to be six. It's just crazy.
I thought you had enough going off. Jerry was going off to college. Maybe Noah can use his car for a ride.
That still may happen. We'll see what happens. Noah's like, well, I don't want to drive Jerry's car. It's like, just shut up and just drive the car that we give you and stop complaining. Anyways, when we last left, we were talking about money stuff. Stuff that impacts your portfolio, stuff that, you know. That's right. Thanks,
financial
Mary.
Advice.
Financial advice in a language you can understand. You know, we were talking about this thing that, the markets, believe it or not, since the beginning of the year, are up. Most people seem to think they're down or flat. I mean, if you listen to the media, if you go to your Facebook feed for all of your information, if that's where you're getting your news is from Google and all of the sound bites that appear, you'd think this country is in a disaster mode, that things are horrible. But things are actually going really, really, really well here. It's just the media or the places that you're going to get your information generally aren't telling you that. So we're here to try to even the score a little bit. Right, Marion?
We are. And I think where we left off was when we were talking about bonds.
We were. And, you know, many people will look at bonds and they'll think, oh, my bond is down. My bond fund may be down a little bit, but there's a reason for it and a reason also not to be worried about it, right?
Very definitely. So the way bonds work, because bonds are a debt obligation. So when you invest in a bond, you're actually lending whoever's issuing the bond, you're lending them money. So if it's the U.S. government, if it's a U.S. Treasury bond, you're lending the government money. And when you lend the government money or you lend a corporation money, you're lending them a certain amount of money for a certain length of time. So if you buy a 10-year bond, you're lending the money for 10 years at a certain interest rate. And so let's say you've lent the federal government $10,000 for 10 years at 3% interest. Well, when interest rates start to go up, what happens is that, you know, nobody is going to want to buy your bond anymore, because if they can go out and buy a new government bond that is issued for 10 years and pays 4%, why are they going to want to only get 3% like you're getting? So what happens in the market is that the price of your bond declines a little bit.
And when you say the price, that's the price that if you wanted to sell that bond today, that's what they'd get for it.
That's correct. So if you put $10,000 into that bond, nobody's going to give you $10,000 for it. They might give you $9,000, which might equate to a competitive interest rate, but they're not going to give you $10,000 for it.
But when will you get your $10,000 back?
At maturity. So if you hold that bond to maturity, you have made this agreement that in 10 years, the federal government is giving you back your $10,000. And so far, the federal government has never defaulted on a bond.
Full faith and credit,
and
right?
And we don't expect them to do it anytime in the near future either. So you've got a quality bond. The problem is, you know, you're looking at your statement and all of a sudden it's declined in value. But you know what? You shouldn't worry about it, because eventually you'll get that $10,000 back and you'll also get interest on it over the course of the years. So very frequently, if the interest rate is high enough, even if the bond price goes down over the course of the year as you get your interest, it more than makes up for any price decline of the bond.
Absolutely. There was a guy by the name of Don Connolly who for years he worked for Putnam Investments, and he was got to be known as a really good speaker around the advisor community. And I think Don is either retired or he's with another company now. But Don used to have this statement that he would make about fluctuating prices that would be on your statements. He says, the thing that you need to know is the only person who cares about what the price is on their statements are the people who are selling out today. As far as you're concerned, the price that you see on your statement, the price that you see on your phone, those are not your values. Those are not your prices unless you're selling out right now. And many people react to what they see as an intangible value because they're not selling it out.
Right.
But they worry about it anyways.
Right.
And we get a lot of calls when that happens.
Absolutely. But, you know, think about it. And you know as well as I do, a lot of people think real estate is a much better investment than stocks or bonds.
Hear that a lot.
Yeah. And that's only because real estate isn't priced every day. So you can't watch that price fluctuate. But you know what? It does. You know, if you buy a house and you go to sell it in, you know, 10 years, it may or may not be worth more. You just never know.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to sell it in 5 years or any particular day. Most people, though, don't buy a house as an investment, probably, so they're not watching the price that closely. And even if they do watch the price closely, or even if they do want to sell it, many people have an opportunity to select when they sell to.
Yeah, it's interesting it's interesting that you bring up the real estate thing, because a lot of folks will look at the price of what their home is on Zillow.
Yeah.
And they'll assume that's the value for my house. Well, I certainly learned that that was not the truth at all in the sale of my own house. I did just sell my house this past couple weeks. Well, we hope. We haven't signed the purchase and sale yet, but the offer agreement is signed, so I don't want to jinx myself here. But
stop talking about
it. I know. But one of the things that's interesting is that Zillow still to this day prices my house much higher than what we actually sold our house for.
Well, Zillow usually gives you a range, too, and that range can be dramatic.
Yeah, it's usually
it can be a couple hundred thousand dollar range.
Absolutely, because a lot of it is based upon the square footage of your house. It's just a math equation. I mean,
right.
Zillow isn't a person that's sitting on a at a desk saying, "Oh, well, I'm going to go and take a what are these little cameras or something." I'm trying to think of what the drone. Have a drone go fly through my house and take a picture of everything.
Right.
They're basing it based upon the number of bathrooms, number of bedrooms, square footage, and they're coming up with a number.
And they don't know what condition it's in.
That's right. They don't know anything. They don't know the colors. They don't know
the layout.
The layout. They don't know anything about the house. And so right. It is a learning experience. I mean, if your house is priced, let's say, in the $400,000 to $600,000 range right now, those houses are going like crazy. In fact, many of them are going over what they're being asked for. But you start getting over that price range, and it's a huge variable. Square footage doesn't matter anymore. It's what are the updates, what are the items in your house? And so we learned a lot, even with the upgrades and stuff that Laura and I put into our current, into the house that we just sold. It still doesn't change what Zillow thinks of our house. They don't know that I just repainted the inside of my house or changed the boiler or something like that.
Zillow does allow you to go in and claim your house, though, and make changes to it if you want to.
Absolutely, you can, but it's purely subjective. Like
absolutely.
Anything else, the value of your house, I always
can lie.
Yeah, yes, you can do that too. You're absolutely right. But I've always told people the value of your house is basically what someone's willing to pay for it. It's not what you
no
think
question.
It's worth.
That's right.
But the thing that's interesting about mutual funds or investments or bonds is what is the mutual fund worth if you wanted to sell it? Is it worth what somebody's willing to sell it to you for? It's what the market says at that moment it's worth.
Right.
And that's a big difference. There is a difference between liquidity, because that's what you have in securities, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, whatever it might be. You don't have that in-house.
That's right.
As I've always said, if someone's coming up short for $5,000 and they say, "Mark, I need $5,000. Where should I get it from?" I said, "Well, you know, your house is such a big asset. Why don't you take it from your house?" Well, what do you mean? I said, "Well, can't you just pull a window out of your house and bring it down to the bank and say, 'Here, give me $5,000 for that?'" "Of course I can't do that." I said, "Exactly." And that's why you need to have investments that are liquid as
right.
well as investments that are moving in price. They're illiquid, soon to be liquid. And it's a great lesson to learn.
It is. It is. It's just, you know, as I said, most people don't look at real estate as being something that is more fluid or as an investment maybe, but prices of real estate do go up and down as much as stocks and bonds.
Absolutely. Yeah. And furthering, and I know you're looking at me saying, "Is he still going to keep talking about real estate?" Just the other part about real estate here is that many people don't take for granted the amount of money that they put into a piece of property. You know, everyone's got to pay their electric, their cable, even your basic property tax or whatever it is. But all of those added expenses that accompany the house that you live in, whether it's, you know, changing light bulbs, whether it's buying a trash barrel, whether it's having to pay the landscaper to cut your grass. Oh, yeah, actually, people can actually cut their own grass, too. I know my daughters find that hard to believe, that someone could actually own a lawnmower and cut the grass. Yeah, Mindy gave me that about a month or so ago. She says, "Daddy, you know, we were at a friend's house and he had a lawnmower in his garage." I said, "Yeah." She says, "Why did he have a lawnmower there?" I said, "Because he cuts his grass." "Doesn't everybody hire someone to cut the grass?" "No, Mindy, that doesn't happen." And if I really want to throw Mindy under the bus, and I figure I will right now, Mindy says to me, she says, "So I was at this party, my party this weekend, and everyone's laughing at me because, Dad, you know, you kept on talking about LeBron James and all that stuff." And she says, "He doesn't play for the Celtics." It's my daughter.
Oops.
No, LeBron James does not play for the Celtics, Mindy. She says, "Well, you talk about him all the time. I just figured he played for the Celtics." Now, LeBron James just ended the Celtics season, but, you know, he's a fabulous player.
He did end the Celtics season.
Best player in the world, no question about it. Complains a lot, but he is still the best player in the world. Anyways, like you know, Marion, I go off on tangents, right?
Do you?
Like anything else.
Who would have guessed?
So we were talking about the economy and the markets as they sit right now. The markets, believe it or not, are up. They are still up year to date. Growth is outperforming value.
By a long shot.
And why do you think that is, Marion?
Well, that actually has to do a little bit with interest rates as well, I believe. And that is, most value companies are dividend-paying companies. So, particularly the large value companies. like the Procter & Gamble's or the banks of the world. And they paid nice dividends. So dividends work the same way as interest on a bond does. So when interest rates start to go up, that dividend doesn't look quite as attractive. If you had a 2.5% dividend and interest rates are at 0.5%, that 2.5% dividend looks great. But now all of a sudden, if interest rates are at 2%, that dividend's not looking so hot anymore. So a lot of times the prices of those stocks will adjust in light of interest rate increases, and certainly more than they would for a growth company. So I think that's part of the story. The other part of the story, of course, is technology is hot.
It sure is.
And tech companies are usually large growth companies. I mean, that's the sweet spot for tech companies.
Yeah, technology companies on aggregate. And I'm going from a report that LPL provides us, comes out every day, actually, to us. I have the one that's the end of May. Let's just call it the end of May. Technology is up 11% year to date.
I read something. And we don't follow individual stocks that closely. But I think Amazon is up something like 30% this year.
It could be.
Or Apple. One of the two is up some astronomical amount year to date.
But there's two categories that a lot of people follow here in New England, that from companies that they work with that have been important companies, whether it's General Electric, whether it's some of the telephone companies or whatever. And they're seeing some significant drops.
The utilities. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
once again, those are interest rate dividend paying companies. So that's been affected. So part of that decline is because of those dividend rates. But yeah, also, you know, utilities are struggling a bit, I think.
Well, utilities aren't nearly down as much. Utilities are down about 3.5%.
As the telecoms?
As the telecoms down almost 10%. And even worse, what are called consumer staples. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Consumer staples is down 13% year to date right now. What would be an example, Marion, of some consumer staples?
Well, Procter & Gamble is a good example of a company that sells consumer staples. You know, things like this, things that you buy every day for your house. So whether it's laundry detergent, soap, you know, household items, those are all consumer staples.
But when you think about consumer staples, though, should anybody be worried about consumer staples? You're still going to need toilet paper and soap, right?
They probably just got ahead of themselves last year. 2017 was such a big year. And all of a sudden, you know, these consumer staples stocks might have had a big run-up, and now they're just adjusting. And there's also a lot of competition in those markets. And it's hard to distinguish yourself. It's hard to become a premium brand for laundry detergent.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we're talking about anything and everything as it relates to money, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And I'm joined here today by my business partner, Marion Gilman, who I'm always delighted to have here in studio because she keeps me honest. She keeps me on track. And then she also lets me go off on tangents sometimes as well. I just get this look from her from across the table. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break. But when we get back, we've got a lot more to share. We'll talk more about the markets. We'll talk about this thing called a retirement pyramid that just recently came out. It talks about different ways to measure yourself, to adjust yourself, to think about what am I doing? What can I do for the future? What can I do to really indulge? But what are some of the costs that I truly, truly need to avoid? We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I don't have
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
We think you're just sensational. See Broadway veteran and Trading Spaces star Paige Davis as everyone's favorite auntie, Mame.
We think you're just sensational, Mame.
And you can only see her at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. This dazzling all-new production of MAME is a madcap musical adventure brimming with optimism, full of laughs, and dripping with glamour.
Strike the band off! hits today.
Mame is one of Broadway's funniest, brassiest classic musicals, overflowing with iconic Jerry Herman songs like It's Today, We Need a Little Christmas, Bosom Buddies, and of course the unforgettable title song. MAME will keep you laughing while warming your heart. Don't miss MAME, starring Trading Spaces' Paige Davis, only at North Shore Music Theater from June 5th through June 17th. Get your tickets today at nsmt.org.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Just imagine, if you had $1 million, would you buy a house? Would you buy a pet monkey? What would you buy? Would you buy some furniture for the house? You could buy lots of stuff. What would you buy, Marion, if you had $1 million?
You can buy lots of stuff, but I always find it really interesting. We ask all of our clients who reach that $1 million goal whether they feel like millionaires. Or just people who come in to see us. Do you feel like a millionaire? And what do they all say?
They all have the same answer, don't they?
All of them.
They could have $1 million in a net worth or $10 million in a net worth, and they still give me the same answer.
Do you feel like a millionaire?
Nope, not at all.
It is amazing. Amazing. And they never have that urge to go out and spend it either.
No, they don't.
It's rare that they say, oh, I want to go spend
this. I achieved this amount of money. Yep. I've accumulated this kind of wealth. And now, let's go blow it. Let's go buy it.
And even the clients who inherit it. We've had that happen where clients have inherited $1 million. And they're not in a race to go out and just spend it on something.
Yeah, but like what the Bare Naked Ladies suggest, and that's who sings the song, If I Had $1 million. If they're suggesting, if I had $1 million, when we're thinking of $1 million, when we're thinking of it from a perspective of personal finance, $1 million accompanies more than just a bank account with $1 million in it. $1 million represents a net worth. And when we work with our clients, when we're doing financial planning, when we're meeting with individuals and families who live here on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley, and we talk to you about your overall goals and objectives and what you're trying to achieve both now and in retirement, when we're looking at what those numbers are, it's about your net worth. And Marion, maybe you can explain a little bit about what is a net worth? What do you mean by that?
The net worth is a snapshot at a certain point in time that looks at everything you own minus everything you owe, and that's your net worth. So when you think about what you own that would go on the net worth, it would be bank accounts, any investment accounts, any 401ks,
IRAs,
Roths, all of those types of accounts. It would also include annuities. It might include life insurance if you have cash value in your life insurance. And it also includes property. Now, we don't always use automobiles because those are depreciating assets.
And you're not going to hold them on for a long time.
Exactly.
You're not doing it for an investment.
But if you owned artwork or jewelry or things that can appreciate and that have a substantial value to them, that would also go on there. And of course, your primary residence, as well as any other property that you own. On the what you owe side, that would be any mortgages, credit card debt, if it was ongoing credit card debt, which we hope you don't have, but if you had it,
auto loans,
student loans, any of that. So you add up everything you own minus what you owe, and that's your net worth. And if you think about it, on the North Shore, the homes are pretty expensive here.
Right.
So if you own a home,
probably around $500,000 anyways.
Exactly. So you're halfway to $1 million.
But then you're going to subtract out your mortgage.
That's very true.
It amazes me how many people go out and they buy these $600,000 or $700,000 homes and then they carry a $650,000 mortgage.
It is shocking.
Yeah, because we see a lot of people that come and they ask us about buying a piece of property, and they'll say, "Well, I went to the bank, and the bank told me what I qualified for." For a mortgage. And I think that's a dangerous thing to do. It's nice to have a pre-qualification letter, but just because the bank says you'd qualify for a $600,000 mortgage doesn't mean you should get one.
That's how we got in trouble back in 2006-07, leading up to the crisis in 2008.
Right.
Because if you recall, we heard all kinds of stories like that. And banks were offering mortgages that no one should have accepted.
So sometimes people will ask us, well, what's an easy way? What's a good rule of thumb to think about? So what I want you to think about is, let's say you have a household income of $120,000. That's $10,000 a month. Let's say you have a household income of $120,000. I want you to take 30% of that number, $10,000. 30% of $10,000 comes out to $3,000. Your principal, interest, and insurance on your house should be...
And taxes
should all be under $3,000. Principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Now, I'm not talking about income taxes. I'm talking about real estate taxes. That number should be under $3,000 a month. If it's not, you may be at risk. And here's what was happening in 2006 and 2007. Banks were lending upwards of 45%. And so you'd have 45% of that. Let's say you were taking home, you had $10,000 a month in income. 45% of it, that's $4,500 going to principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. And then you had to pay about, what, 25% in income taxes that was
and
being held for your
security.
Pay and Social Security,
yeah.
At least, right?
Exactly.
So 45 plus 25, that's 70, maybe even 80. And only 20% of it was left for what you might want to call discretionary, but also some household expenses.
It's not discretionary. It's food.
It's food, right.
That's
food,
not discretionary.
Electric, cable, all that stuff.
Right.
And people built up credit card debt and all that.
Right.
So if you want to try to figure out before even going to the bank to say, I wonder what I'd qualify for a mortgage. I want you to just basic rule of thumb. And now we haven't even talked about whether you're already carrying credit card debt or student loan debt or any of those other things. Let's assume you have none, no other credit card debt, no other student loan debt. If you would just think to yourself, what is your gross pay for the month, gross household pay for the month? Take 30% or less. It really is about 28%. I've kind of rounded up to 30. So between 28 and 30%, that's the number that you should be paying for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. And for some, PMI, primary mortgage insurance.
Well, hopefully, and that was the other thing that got people into trouble, is they'd be buying houses with no money down. So PMI only comes into play if you have not put 20% down, if you don't have 20% equity in your home, if your mortgage is greater than 80% of the value. So, you know, it's a great idea, if you can, to be able to put 20% down,
right,
not have PMI.
And I also think, Marion, that those that are putting just 5% down or 10% down, and lenders are allowing that to happen, is you need to remember that the next 10 years might not be as appreciative on the market value of your house than what you've seen over the past 5 years.
No question.
And why might that be?
Well, they've appreciated so much over the past 5 years. So whenever we hit a time frame that we've seen so much appreciation in a short period of time, appreciation typically slows. And then also compound that with interest rates going up and mortgages becoming much more expensive, that puts a lot of people who could qualify at, you know, if you were getting a mortgage interest rate of 3.5%, say, that's you can buy a lot bigger house or get a much higher mortgage than you could when interest rates are at 4.5%.
Yeah, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Mass. We're here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. delivering financial advice in a language you can understand. I'm joined here by my business partner, Marion Gilman, and we are offering advice around all areas of financial planning. We started this day talking about the markets. We've been talking about real estate. We've been talking about everything. Marion never knows where I'm going when I lead this.
It's kind of scary.
She has just no idea what she's going to say. I think she much prefers to do the show on her own when I'm away and you get to do it solo. But we're just talking about anything and everything. And, you know, this real estate thing, when we got back from break, we were going to talk about this thing called the retirement pyramid. And we ended up starting to talk about housing. And you just never know where it's going to go. But this issue of housing is really important. And I think I think real estate sales are going to be pretty robust throughout the summer, especially as you're heading into the school year. You want to get settled into a new piece of property. I'm very worried about people overextending themselves on a piece of property this year simply because they're saying, you know, well, the bank said I could afford it. And there's a lot of other reasons why you want to be careful about buying a house. And one of those things is employment stability.
That's right. And, you know, even if you think your job is secure and stable and, you know, what, anything can happen. I don't think there's any job out there that's guaranteed. And we've seen that over this past year with this Me Too movement. I mean, it's amazing how many people have lost their jobs because of things they did years ago, too. So, you know, you got to be very, very careful in thinking, oh, I will never lose my job. That would never be me.
There's that. There's also the issue of relocation.
No,
you know,
yes,
more and more
absolutely.
People are trying to consolidate offices, consolidate locations.
Sure.
The days of working at home, I actually think they're going to become far fewer and far between, because I think people are going to want to centralize operations and work with folks. I think many people that are trying to set up home offices and working from home, I know there's a trend to do more of it, but I think it's also creating a problem. I think there is the efficiency of work that gets done at home is impacted when you're not at the office. There's always the opportunity to be less efficient. Well, look at it this way. How many times have you been on a conference call? And everybody wants to do a conference call, right? Well, not everybody wants to do a conference call, but people like to do conference calls as a means of gathering people together. So let's say there's 12 people all working from home in all different corners of the country to have this important conference call, and you got to commit to 2 hours of it. How much of your full attention is exclusively on the conference call when you have two screens in front of you, you have a phone that's running on, you got sounds, you got the ability to switch apps, to jump around, to do all sorts of things? Marion, is that really the future? Is that efficient?
Not at all.
But
no, you know what? When you were saying that, I know I started smiling. And I'm smiling because I read this thing last week about this new phenomenon, and it's called procrastibaking.
Procrastibaking. Tell me about it.
That's when you bake while you're procrastinating. So instead of doing your work, when you're working from home, you bake things.
Wow.
Yep. It's called procrastibaking. It's a thing. Who knew? Never would have occurred to me that this would be a thing, but it was on the internet.
Well, then
so
it's real.
It's true.
It's real for sure. If Professor Google says so, it's for real.
So I have to say, I did send this to a few people I know who work from home and love to bake, and they all admitted that they do that.
Yeah, they let the conference call run. they step away from the office to check things in the oven.
It's almost done. I can smell it now.
Maybe this should be a topic for our newsletter.
I think
so. And speaking of our newsletter, we put it out each and every Friday morning at 10:30 in the morning. It's called Planning Pointers. If you'd like to be one of the 7,000 subscribers that get planning pointers, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page and you'll see a weekly planning pointer. Sign up. You'll start to get these one-page newsletters that Marion and I have been putting together since March of 2009. Actually, the newsletters go back almost 30 years. But our online newsletter.
Right. It used to be a printed copy.
Right. And postage was just too expensive to keep sending them out. Printing
and
costs and all
that. Nobody did that anymore anyway. So.
Right. So we send out, there's over 7,000 people that have subscribed to this thing. And it's financial advice in a language you can understand. And perhaps next week we throw in procrastibaking.
Procrastibaking.
I think that's very interesting.
It's a thing.
I'm sure it is. So.
Told you, it's on the internet.
Yeah, it's got to be there. So, you know, one of the reasons that procrastibaking and a lot of other things came up.
Hard to say.
It is. Was that, you know, more and more people are thinking about buying new homes this summer. And you want to be sure that you're buying a home for the right reason, not because it's just a shiny new toy. Make sure that you can afford it. Make sure that she's smiling at me because I just bought a shiny new toy, right, Marion? In my new house.
I wasn't pointing any fingers.
But I did make sure that we could afford it. Right, that we did that. But you want to be sure that you can afford it because jobs aren't nearly as secure as they were. There is going to be change. You want to make sure that's affordable. You want to make sure you've put down a down payment on your home because, God forbid, if you have to sell your house, if you have to be relocated, you want to be prepared that if you would have had to sell your house for 10% less than what you paid for it,
you don't have to come up with money to pay off
that
mortgage.
You don't want to come up with money.
That's right.
So, you know,
that's
this leads us into this conversation of preparing for retirement because that is the big goal that everyone looks to achieve. You know, you've been working for 30, 35 years in the real world, and then you hit age 65, 62, 67, 70, whatever it is, and you say, you know what? I want to retire. I want to change things up. Because when you ask people, what does retirement mean? Retirement does not mean quitting my job, sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair, drinking lemonade, and sewing a quilt for the grandkids.
Not for the baby boomers.
It is not what it is, right?
Nope.
So in living in retirement, there's so much that you want to do. What's the number one thing people want to do, Marion?
Travel.
And where do they want to go, generally? Where do
wherever
you find people?
Wherever their kids are. But
that is one place.
A lot of times it's cruises or Europe, places like that.
Right. And yeah. And if
it's not cheap trips.
Right. And if you're in your 60s right now, you're getting pamphlets every single day.
Right.
From Vantage Travel, Viking Travel, all the cruise lines, everybody's reaching out to you because they want to sell it. And it's really, really cool looking.
Sure.
But this retirement pyramid that actually you found on the internet, there are four stages that are here. And there are certain things that you should avoid during retirement as you begin to plan out your retirement. There are certain things you should do in moderation, certain things that you should use freely, and other things where you can really indulge. But what are some of the few things, Marion, that when you're planning your retirement and beginning to prepare for retirement and making decisions, what are some of the things that you should avoid at all costs?
So, and this is, it's interesting because this retirement pyramid really doesn't have everything to do with money. I mean, money is one piece of it, but retiring is much more than just the money piece of it. But the top piece of advice to avoid at all costs is...
Well, hold that right there, Marion. That's it. Hold that right there. You wanted to give it, but I just got the sign from Jay that we need to take a break. So when we get back, you're going to get the avoid at all costs message from Marion Gilman off the retirement pyramid. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Well, when you're planning for retirement and you've got decisions to make, be sure you don't just take all the money and run. We are here live in the North Shore 104.9 studios. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman. And we have got this retirement pyramid that we tempted you with and teased you with for the last segment. Marion now is going to share some of the information coming off this pyramid so that as you're approaching retirement or you're living in retirement, here are some of the things that you should avoid at all costs. What are they, Marion?
And the number one thing, and Mark and I would totally agree with that, this is market timing. The worst thing you can do is try to time the stock market.
Why
stock
is that?
Market. You can't. Let's put it this way. The best minds in finance have not been successful over any length of time timing the market.
But my friend at the coffee shop, he told me about a success story that he had buying a stock and
yeah.
He did really well.
Taxi drivers, too.
They're all the Uber drivers are so well connected with the community, right?
There you go. And that happened. I mean, it certainly happens. There have been financial market pundits who've received all kinds of accolades because they called the downturn in 2008 or they called the tech wreck in 2000. And it happens. Absolutely. But do they have can they consistently do that? And the answer is no.
But why can't they do that? Why can't we be successful at market timing, Marion? Why do you think?
Because the market moves at its own whim. I mean, who knows? You know, who knows what moves it?
Well, I oftentimes think, I mean, look, there's portfolio managers, people that run mutual funds. Their job, or they are much better positioned, I should say, to market time than the average Joe or Sally who sits at a Starbucks in front of a laptop and believes they could be a better day trader, right?
Right. So day trading is a little bit different than market timing. So you know, be careful about that. But market timing, you know, in the big picture scheme of things, market timing, the market can move on emotion. It's not necessarily what's going on with the companies, you know, there have been a lot of hedge funds out there and a lot of different strategies out there about buying different. So, for instance, the dogs of the Dow was a strategy where you bought the worst five stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average for the previous year, and they were supposed to do the best. Or there was another phenomenon called the January effect, where small company stocks did fabulous in January. So at the beginning of January, you were supposed to buy small cap stocks. And you know what? All those strategies worked for a while until they didn't. And then they stopped working. So at a certain point, they stop. But you don't know when that point is. And so maybe you could time the market once or twice, but can you actually call the top of the market and then get out, and then the bottom of the market and get back in over the long term? We haven't seen anyone who's been successful.
No one at all. In fact, you think about January to now, we've seen some pretty wild moves in the market, right? January to now.
No question.
Now, most people would believe that you got to get out of this market. It's terrible, right? But that's not that you would agree or disagree with that. But I mean, people would say, I need to get out of this market. I don't know where it's going to go. Well, right now, where is it, Marion? It's up.
Right. And nobody knows where it's going to go. So that's, you know, that's the problem or beauty of investment, one or the other, however you look at it. Nobody knows where it's going.
And a lot of times when people think about timing the market, it's either getting in and getting out, right? It's not even about the individual security.
No.
It's get out altogether, get in. And what happened in 2008?
So the people who wanted to get out, well, first of all, you know, you got to think about it in terms of individual investors. When they're looking to time the market, they clearly don't get out until after it started to go down. And then they're hesitant to get back in. And so that's the hard part. And when the market turns around, you know, even in March of 2009, when it turned around, it can have some pretty big up days within the first week. So you can miss a whole big upswing before you actually even have the opportunity to evaluate and get back in. But most people hesitate. They think it's a head fake again, you know, because we did see some up days in the market over that time frame. And they think, oh, yeah, well, it's just going to turn around and go back down again. Because remember, when people are watching the market, they really look at what's going on in the short term. So if the market's gone down in the short term, everybody extrapolates that and thinks it's going to continue to go down. And if it's gone up in the short term, everybody extrapolates that and thinks it's going to continue to go up. Well, at a certain point, it turns.
Well, you think about how many times, just even in the past year and a half, there has been issues in the news that has caused the market to drop 300, 400, 500, 600 points, right? Whether it's North Korea, whether it's Argentina, whether it's the Middle East. It could be we had this issue with Italy just this past week, right? Everything is causing the market, things happen, cause the market to just drop down. And then people get, oh my God, this is the big one. This is the big one. How about Bitcoin? There was another one I can't say Bitcoin on the radio. Sorry, compliance. I have to say cryptocurrency. So you know, even that, as volatile as that has been.
Right.
All of this, I mean, it just goes all over the place. And if you react to those short-term whims, that is terrible market timing. You can't do that. What else should we do?
And one of the other things to avoid at all costs is mixing politics with investing.
Absolutely.
And that's, we hear that a lot. You know, people don't like what's going on politically, and politically even in other countries. And don't, you know, you shouldn't do that. I mean, that can be a really tough thing. And watching the financial media is another thing you really have to take with a grain of salt. Sure.
I oftentimes remember that the financial media is in the entertainment business. And if they're not taking an extreme position on one side or the other, they're hurting their subscribers, their advertisers won't want to be on the radio with them anymore.
Right. They're selling.
They are selling. That is their job all the time. They are entertainers, not newscasters. It's not like the days of Walter Cronkite where you needed 3 and 4 confirmed sources before you brought something to air. Right now, it's how much can you shock and awe someone through TV, through the internet.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? And they get their following. You know what? If people watch it for entertainment, that's great. But think of the headlines. Stock market plummets. You know, and what? Maybe it went down 300 points. In the scheme of things, that's really not a huge decline.
Yeah.
When you look at percentages.
Yeah. When you think of plummet, if the stock market was at 25, if the Dow was at $25,000 and the stock market plummeted, I think it's now at 5.
Right.
That's plummet to me.
Me too. But
you know, they got a scrape on the knee.
Soars or plummets.
Yeah. That's. It's crazy.
It's no fun to listen to. It went up a little or down a little.
It isn't. You know, and no one reports that the planes are landing safely at Logan Airport, right?
Right.
No one's reporting that.
Exactly.
And another thing that you got to be careful about, you know you're in trouble and that you're really worried too much when you're checking your balances every day in retirement, or frankly at any time for that matter.
Yeah, and that's never a good thing. Because once again, you're getting into that short-termism. And you're in this for the long term. I mean, if you're 65 and you retire, you could live 30 more years. And if you're a couple, there's a high probability that one of you will live into your 90s. So 30 years, I mean, that's a long time. Think about it. You've probably only been saving for the 30 years before a lot of people in their 20s, at least, you know, when today's 65-year-olds were in their 20s, they either didn't have money to save or 401ks were brand new back then.
Right.
People didn't do that. You know, they were just coming into being. So, you know, people weren't saving back then. So maybe when you got in your 30s, you started saving. So you've been saving for 30 years. Now you got 30 years that you have to make this money last. You can't afford to be checking it every minute and making wild adjustments just because what's going on minute by minute in the market.
And as you're approaching retirement, one of the things that you need to really focus on, something that we do at Friedman Financial every single day, is you need to realize the impact of the decisions that you make when you're taking money out of your account. And one of the things that you should focus more importantly on is avoiding the unnecessary taxes, fees, and expenses associated with your investment decisions and pulling money from your accounts.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's extremely important.
People so discount what we can save them by guiding them appropriately to make smart choices when taking money from their accounts.
And distribution is a whole different ballgame from saving money. When you're saving money, you just save. As Mark will tell you, when a 20-year-old comes into our office and they need financial advice, what's the best advice you can give them, Mark?
Save money.
Save as much as you can.
That is the advice. It's not about this fund or that fund. I don't care what you buy. Just save money.
Exactly. I mean, they don't have enough to do that much with. I mean, you gotta think long term and save as much as you can.
Well, we're getting the high sign from Jay here. Can you believe
already?
We have flown through the day already? It is
wow.
So enjoyable to have you with me here in the studio. It makes my job easier. Makes the whole show so much better, too. And I hope our listeners appreciate that. If you'd like to get in touch with us, if you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation with us at Friedman Financial, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That is 978-531-8108. And until then, we will be back next Sunday with more Dollars and Cents and more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.